Welcome to the Retired Podcast. I'm Riley.
And I'm Noah.
We're former professional athletes turned to parents and business owners.
We created this podcast to talk about sports, life, and everything in between.
Thanks for joining us. Let's get to it.
Welcome back to the Retired Podcast. Today, we'll be talking about our most embarrassing moment in the sport and things that we miss or that have changed in the sport over time. From when we played as young little grasshoppers to now being washed up, retired losers. What should we start with? Embarrassing moments?
Yeah.
I've got a handful of them.
You have lots of embarrassing moments?
I have two that immediately come to my mind.
I think I know one of them.
You do. And it's funny.
I think I know both of them.
You do. They're both against the same team.
Okay.
Yeah, tough year against this team. That's what I thought. Same year, I'm pretty sure.
Same game?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
But real quick, before we get started, shout out to our sponsor, V8. Every time. They don't Just kidding. They're not our sponsor, but I'm going to keep saying that until they are because we love V8. Don't give me that petty laugh. Pity laugh. Petty and pity.
Okay.
All right. Most embarrassing moments for me. Go. I'll lead us off. And then I think we'll just go on a ramble of more and more because we'll keep thinking of more that have happened to us.
Sure.
Because when you play the game long enough.
Sounds like you have lots of embarrassing moments.
When you play the game long enough, you embarrass yourself many times. At least I did. besides hitting below the Mendoza line. In
please explain what that is.
Baseball. Below the Mendoza line is below 200. So collectively in my 1.5 seasons with the Oakland A's, I hit below 200. It's tough times. The game was not nice to me and I was not nice to myself. But anyways, let's get to the fun stuff. Okay, embarrassing moments off the top of the dome. The things that I remember immediately. Flashback to college. Both of these against TCU.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't play my best defense against TCU.
I recall.
The first one, we're playing at home, Tuesday night game, biggest crowd that we will ever have at home because we're playing TCU and everyone's like, oh my gosh, TCU.
Was I there?
No, I don't think so. It was a night game, and a good friend of mine, Lucan Baker, hit the highest pop fly I've ever seen, partially seen, because I didn't see it all the way. I saw it.
Halfway.
Until it got above the lights, like literally above the lights, and bases were loaded, two outs. It was actually like a close game at this point.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's not. No, it wasn't. That's not true. Because I remember after the dropping this fly ball that I was like, whatever. We're getting smacked anyways.
Mm.
But yeah, Lucan Baker hits a mile high fly ball to me in right field. And ball got above the lights. I saw it all the way until then. And lost it above the lights on the way down. Didn't see it again until 5 feet in front of my face. And it just hit right off my glove.
I mean, it could have been worse. It could have hit off of your face.
True.
And that would have been truly demoralizing.
I don't know.
You'd probably have to quit baseball after that one.
I almost would have rather it hit me in the face.
Mm.
And I got knocked out.
Because it just looks like you missed it when it hits your glove.
Just like I didn't see it at all.
You're just bad at baseball.
Yeah. Hit me right in the palm. Worst part was, bases loaded, two outs. Runners going on contact. Ball hits me in the palm.
Hits me in the palm.
Dropped it.
Hits me in the palm.
3-run score. Lucan got to third. Didn't get it inside the Parker because, you know, big guy.
Yeah.
Not the fastest. Sorry, Lucan.
Jeez, just roasting him.
He hits tanks. He's a big leaguer with the Cardinals. So who's really getting roasted here? The guy who dropped the fly ball or the guys in the bigs? I got to roast him a little bit. Anyways. So that's probably the most embarrassing just because I've never like remembered a crowd noise more than I remembered the of that because like we were about to get out of a bases loaded jam. Everyone's fired up. Like I said, the fans came out for this one and they rarely did at UTA. sold out game, which isn't saying much. I don't know how much our stands held, but yeah, that was a pretty embarrassing, and I remember that all pretty deeply. So that was the first one. I'll let you go, and then I'll come back to my second one. But okay. That was embarrassing. That was tough.
What position were you playing?
Right field. Where they put the worst fielder usually. So
don't say that one.
Everything kid. Makes sense. No, I'm just kidding. That's only in like Little League.
Don't say that.
Never mind.
You're going to have a Little League right fielder watching this. Just get his dreams absolutely
Johnny,
crushed.
If Little Johnny's playing right field, I'm going to keep it real. It's either because he's not the best defender or he just hits tanks and has a really strong arm. And we're going to say that's probably the case.
Yeah.
It's not that he's terrible at every other
position. It's not because he's picking dandelions in the grass.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
My most embarrassing moment was my freshman year at A&M. And we were in regionals at Louisiana Lafayette.
So embarrassing.
And it's just, you know.
In regionals.
Gosh, just so embarrassing to do that and be good. Anyways, we were doing In-N-Out. And I had hair extensions.
Hold up. This wasn't even in-game?
No.
During In-N-Out? This is your most embarrassing moment?
I don't really have that many in-game embarrassing moments.
Because you're just a baller.
Well, I feel like outfield errors are always way more embarrassing just because it usually takes more time for the ball to actually get there.
Yeah.
And then usually the plays are like longer developing. And if you make a mistake, it's more obvious. But like when you play third base, I mean, you're getting rocketed at you 24/7. So if you make an error, it's like, whatever.
Yeah, it happens.
Yeah, just... Well, I don't know. Last time we talked about the first pitch bunt sale. I mean, it's embarrassing, but it's like an error. It's not like...
Yeah, but even then, it's just like, she was fired up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Anyways, first embarrassing moment, last embarrassing moment. I had extensions, and I had the kind of extensions, if you are familiar with extensions... they're like this singular extension. So they wrap around, it's a tiny piece of hair extension and it wraps around one piece or a couple pieces of your hair. So I had like hundreds of them in my hair. And I fielded a ground ball, went to throw it to the person that was catching in. And I mean, it happens all the time. You grab your hair, not all the time, but it happens more often than you would like. Mm. And it hurts pretty bad, but it had never ripped out any of my hair before. And I didn't even notice it. Like I went to throw, obviously my hair got caught. Went to throw it, didn't notice my extension fell out, went to the back of the line, and our head coach, and this was televised, like a lot of in-and-outs are televised for B-roll, on-camera stuff.
Jolene called you out.
She just ran over there. I think she was confused about what happened. She ran over there, and she picked up my extension, my singular extension. At that time, we had referred to them as tendrils. Mm. And she, like, wiggled it in the air. It was like... Does this belong to you?
Yeah, everybody.
And I went and like grabbed it awkwardly. But we actually ended up tying it on the fence that game. And it was like our lucky. We lost. But
So that's the embarrassing part.
Unlucky tendril.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's my most embarrassing.
That's not even that bad.
I mean.
It's funny. But I'm sure nobody was like, oh my God. How embarrassing.
Only the people that saw it.
Extension came out.
Only the people that witnessed.
Well, okay. Back to my embarrassing antics in the outfield. Because these are actually embarrassing. Let's run it back. TCU. Again. Right field.
At TCU.
Again. Yes, this is very important. At TCU. Mm-hmm. And my outfielders will get this. If you've ever experienced this, you will understand. Have you ever played on a field that is so well manicured that when the ball, baseball, is rolling on the grass is so perfect that the baseball snakes because it's the laces like rolling on this just perfect grass. So it literally snakes. My outfielders are no.
Can't relate. But on dirt, so.
Yeah, well, infielder things. So TCU. Ground ball, hit through the four hole, coming right at me. Start the inning. And this ball's coming in, and, you know, I'm thinking routine ground ball, whatever. I got lazy, picked my head up a little too early, and ball snaked right through my legs. And this has got to be the worst error of an outfield. Like, dropping a fly ball is always tough. Because it feels like that's one of the easier things to do, especially if it's routine, is just catch the ball. But there's no worse feeling than the ball going by you in the outfield and having to do the old turn around and run it down to the fence.
Yeah.
That's a horrific feeling.
Especially because as a cutoff and relay infielder,
it's atrocious.
I have to run out there too. Oh. It's just really not where I want to be.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So anyways, TCU, another one. Snaked right through the wickets. And I had to run it down to the fence. Guy got all the way to third. Lead off, single, the two base error.
Who was the hitter?
Don't remember. I think it was like the catcher or something. So even worse, it was like a guy who just shouldn't be on third with no outs. Like a guy who's not hitting triples, most likely.
Mm-hmm.
But basically gave him a triple. However, shout out to Brad Vassar. Guy shut it down, left the guy stranded. There's no better feeling
that's lucky
than starting the inning off with an error,
mm-hmm.
especially a three base or two base error,
mm-hmm.
and then your pitcher just saves you. Like, wow.
Yeah.
That felt good. So that was pretty embarrassing, though. And that was at TCU. And again, TCU crowds were always bigger than what I was used to.
Mm-hmm.
And just that time it wasn't at all, though. It was like a loud cheers erupting as the ball went through my legs, and I looked like an idiot on TV. That was the good thing about airs at home, not televised when you're playing at our ballpark.
Mm-hmm.
But you get a TCU, it's on TV, and everybody can watch you and think about just what an idiot that guy must be.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of people still think about that too.
Yeah, all the time.
Yeah.
But they didn't see the snakes in the grass. Nobody ever does.
So many snakes.
Snakes in the grass.
Snakes everywhere.
So those are the two most embarrassing moments off the top of my head. I'm sure I could think of 1,000 more in pro ball just because tough times out there. But that was just like a collective.
I mean, I think that like this sport in general is like embarrassing all the time because of how much, like, you're just screwing up.
Yeah, especially hitting. It's like anytime you strike out, that's embarrassing.
Definitely.
And I've done a lot of that.
You've gotten on to me about this before. Do you promote running back to the dugout after a strikeout?
That's the most embarrassing thing you can do.
Why is that embarrassing?
I just hate it, and I feel like it is a softball thing, and softball players don't come at me, but like,
you're just taught to hustle 24/7 regardless of what's going on.
It almost I get it, and I'm not a fan of like pouting back to the dugout either, like just walk back normally. But when softball players strike out and they have that pep in their step to get back to the dugout,
it's not a pep in our step. It's that our coach is literally going to rip us.
I know. Trust me, I know. But it just looks...
If we walk.
It looks that way, and it looks almost like they're excited to get back to the dugout after their strikeout, and it's like...
It's definitely what they're feeling.
I know it's not. I'm just saying, I cannot stand the running back to the dugout after striking out. It just... It gives off a look of, you tired or something? Am I boring you?
No, I'm just sleepy.
It gives off the look of, like, thank God that at bat's over.
I mean, sometimes it does feel that way, though.
Sometimes, but, like, I can't stand running back to the dugout after a strikeout. It's a horrible look. And if a coach is telling you to hustle, it almost looks like you're excited to be defeated, from my perspective, to any coaches watching. So if you can teach, like, a respectful walk, shoulders...
A gallop.
Like, head held high, shoulders rolled back, walk back to the dugout versus the run, I would quickly get on board with that.
You also have to understand, though, that we only have 90 seconds from the moment the last out is made to the first pitch of the next inning.
Is that a TV thing?
It was an SEC rule, I believe.
I don't think that's why coach is telling you guys to run back to the dugout.
I mean, my coach has never told me to run, but I just feel like I didn't want to get back to the dugout and have to like rush to get back onto the field.
So you ran back to the dugout after striking out by yourself?
What?
Without coaches telling you to do that?
I mean, you did it when you're younger because coaches told you to. Yeah. You did it when you're older because you're literally in a rush to get on the field because you have like 30 seconds after you get your hair put back up.
It's always
after
the
helmet hair. Smashing. We talked about this last time.
It's the hair. I guess I can't relate.
Yeah, the visor has to get put back on.
Okay.
Hair has to get unsmeashed.
Not saying I have to love it or like it.
Yeah.
But I understand.
I'm just explaining to you why. Yeah. So you don't hate so bad. Judgmental.
I'm a major hater of the run back.
Seriously.
To the dugout.
Seriously. I think that's all you do on here. You just hate on things.
Somebody's got to do it. Good cop, bad cop.
Anyways, switching gears. Let's talk about the one thing that either used to exist and now does not, or just a way the game has changed from the time we were a youth. player?
Oh, gosh. I mean, it's changed so many ways, but this one doesn't really make sense, but I'm going to throw it out there just because this is one of my most fond memories from, like, playing Little League.
Mm-hmm.
You ever get, like, a post-game Coke after a win? They used to do that.
Like a slushy.
The Little League I played in. It was like a, it was that or a snow cone.
Yeah. Oh, so you're talking, you're taking that as like.
No.
That you, parts of the game that you miss.
Yeah, that's kind of where my head went initially, but I will also talk about the other way. Like the game has changed.
Seemed like the snacks. Changed. The snacks after the game.
That's just where my head went. Yeah. It was just like.
You know those icy, like push thingies that came in liquid and you froze them at home and you brought them to the game? Those were pretty good.
Love those. Anyways, yeah, the post game Coke, like that's something that hasn't necessarily changed. Any, I don't know if people still do that in Little Leagues or whatnot, but that's something that I miss. It's just like that's one of my favorite memories from playing baseball was after winning a Little League game, but you had to win and it was free.
Mm.
So like if your team won, it was like, hey, you eat a free Coke or a free snow cone from the concession stand, the winning team. That was one of my favorite things. And now it's like
they have bougie snow cone stands at these tournaments that kids go to now.
But nothing's free anymore. You know, they used to give out free Cokes. Now it's like, oh, you won. Here's come give me $8 for a snow cone, little buddy. But yeah, that's my like just fond memory thing.
Mm-hmm.
But the way the game has changed and things that I miss from just like old baseball, I guess. And this is a topic for a whole nother day. And it's funny because I was not this player, or the reason I got drafted was because I was not this player.
Mm-hmm.
But I love old school baseball. Like
elaborate.
Small ball, bunting, runners over.
Yeah.
The
art of the game. Just
stealing bags. Yeah. Like situational play.
Not hitting home runs and hitting.
Yeah. Not hitting all home runs. Home runs are always
200
fun.
For the season.
Right, I do love old school baseball, hitting runs, moving runners, strategically, all that. I just think that's part of the beauty of the game of baseball. But what's funny is like I got drafted because I was completely not that hitter. Like I got drafted because I hit a lot of was a lot of home runs. That's another thing on this topic, things that have changed. You're retired tonight.
I'm so retired.
Okay, we'll wrap it up quickly then. But that's one other thing that has changed is. I lost my train of thought. Your yawn made me lose my train of thought.
Old school baseball.
Yeah, but it was a very specific thought.
How you are not that way anymore. You thought you were hitting lots of home runs, but you weren't.
Yes, that. I got drafted, again, not tooting my own horn, but I got drafted in the 12th round when there were still 40 rounds out of a mid-major, which for me was like pretty good. 12th round is pretty high considering where I played and stuff like that. And all the scouts are like, it was your power and speed combo. And like, I only hit 14 home runs, but like at the time, 14 felt like a good number.
Mm-hmm.
And this was 2018. 14 home runs now in college baseball is like low, like average to below average. Like guys are putting up.
It's not below average.
Okay, it's average. Guys are putting up 25 plus homer seasons, like, and that's the norm.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not even getting drafted top 10 rounds. Like, it's insane. So, that's changed.
Yeah.
But I guess that's just because the focus has been power lately, and it works. It gets guys to the next level.
It's Moneyball. It's Moneyball mentality.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. It's like the opposite of Moneyball mentality, though. Like, true Moneyball. Like, the movie. It was all analytic-based, but it was all like...
Well, the analytics over time
have
shown that
higher
homer numbers equate to more wins.
That's true. Yeah. So yeah, I miss that. I just miss old school baseball, just the art of it and playing the game the way I feel like it was designed to be played. But I'm not a hater of new school. It's just, I don't know. It is less fun to watch. I feel like I just have a deep appreciation for playing the game. Old school style. Homers are fun though. Love homers.
Yeah.
What about you? What do you miss?
Mine's kind of like a deeper topic, I feel like. And this kind of ties into youth. We'll talk about it when we talk about youth sports, but I feel like sports were designed, and you have to think about in the context of our history in sport as a country. So I feel like we didn't have leisure time to do sports until like post-World War II era.
Yeah.
So like sports weren't really even serious, like it wasn't actual organized sports until after that time.
Yeah.
And sports were really just a way, one, to keep kids doing something and not bored out of their minds 24/7 because they didn't have phones or iPads or,
right,
you know, TVs or whatever. Well, they had TVs that just didn't really watch. They were like shows. But Andy, I feel like it was more about like building character traits,
yeah,
that were conducive to a well-rounded human being. And I feel like now you get kids that are like 6 and 7 years old that they just want to go to lessons and be really good. It's like, it's almost like the game has outgrown what it was intended for.
Yeah.
Like the game was not created so that you could go and make millions of dollars. Like my great grandpa played for the Cubs and made no money at all.
Right.
And just did it for the love of the game. And he was a big leaguer.
I think, yeah.
Went to the World Series. And
do you think sports were like, on that note, like, mm-hmm, I feel like it was to keep kids out of trouble too. Like it was,
yeah, well, they're fun. I mean, obviously,
yeah,
they're fun.
I feel like it was like around that time, probably in the '50s or something mm-hmm to do. But obviously it was just an organized thing to like keep you, like, what else did you do with your free time?
Right.
I don't know.
And I think too, like if you look at a lot of the people that played sports, I would say in the early 2000s when the rise of televised sports really began,
yeah,
you see like a lot of collegiate athletes leave college, especially females, and get really good high paying jobs.
Yeah.
And like they're very productive members of society, not because people wanted to hire athletes because they're athletes. Companies wanted to hire athletes because they knew how to time manage, they knew how to commit to things, mm-hmm, they knew what hard work looked like, they knew what adversity looked like. And I really do feel like in a very small way, sports, especially a sport like baseball or softball, get you ready for life because life is very difficult.
100%.
And I feel like that part is lost now. It's amazing to see like the rise of technical skill in athletes and then the loss of like
character.
Not character, but like the loss of softball or baseball IQ.
Yeah.
Like the rise of technical skill also comes the rise of performance anxiety.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm sure people got nervous to play the sport, but I don't know any athlete from like the 80s or 90s that has said, yeah, I got really anxious when I was playing.
Yeah.
It's like, I guess it just wasn't a thing. Maybe they just weren't aware of it. I just feel like the game has gone so far from teaching hard work, discipline, all the good character traits you need to be a well-rounded individual. So now being like, be the best you can as fast as you can.
Yeah.
Take no breaks ever.
Well, also
go win a championship.
Created,
be terrified, nervous the whole time.
Yeah, it's also created just like a team sport that has now been individualized. Like,
yeah,
where it's like individual success is greater than team success. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a way a lot of people look at it and start to prepare themselves.
Definitely.
I fell into that too. Like, especially when you get into professional baseball, there's no level of like playing for the team in minor league baseball.
No.
At least from my experience.
And it's
like
designed that way, I think.
Everybody's here to climb on each other to get to the next level and get to the bigs. And then, yeah, I'm sure when you get to the bigs, it's more of a team thing. But like even then, once you're there, you know there's guys in the minors below you, mm-hmm, coming for your spot every day.
There's also individual bonuses based on performance.
Right. And so it's like you see guys like, you know, and Juan Soto is an extreme example, but like signing these huge contracts.
Yeah.
And so like kids, like you said, kids will come in and be like, I want to be a big leaguer. And it's like, dude, to your point, it's like, how about I want to learn how to be disciplined? I want,
yeah,
to learn, you know, just new skills. And I want to, and that for me, I'm glad you said that. That for me has been, especially with parenting,
mm-hmm,
the greatest gift the game of baseball has ever given me.
Yeah.
Like, of course, I would have loved to have been a big leaguer and been super successful and all that. But like, looking at how I parent and can be patient and handle, I don't know, just everyday stress, it's like, I love to think the game of baseball prepared me for that. And those are things that I didn't always prioritize, especially as I got closer and closer to reaching the goal, mm-hmm, of big leaguer. Those things started to seem less important.
Yeah.
Individual success and, like you said, just growing technically,
mm-hmm,
became more important. It's like, maybe that's why I started to become a mental midget.
Yeah.
You know,
so we developed all this technical skill and then no like real way to be able to implement it in a useful way.
Yeah.
Because we're too stressed out thinking about messing up to even be able to let ourselves enjoy,
yeah,
playing. It's like, and that to me is, it's such a sad thing because it's like a loss of sorts. It's, mm-hmm, a loss of love for the game.
Yep.
And that's the whole point. The whole point is to, yep, love the game.
This isn't like totally on page with that, but, mm-hmm, like anytime I started playing and focusing on my individual success, I felt anxiety higher than ever. Anytime I started to focus on team success, it's like the weight off the shoulders. Because you know, hey, this is a team of a starting nine and then more behind that. It's not all on me. So I don't have to feel like it's all on me. But when I shifted to just me, it felt like it was all on me. And I was a mental wreck. And so, yeah, that's a great point.
It's a very egocentric way of looking at it. I feel like when you're an egocentrist, you view everything as a direct result of what's happening to you. So like when you strike out, you think everybody in the entire stadium is thinking about your strikeout. Yeah. And literally nobody cares.
Yeah.
Maybe besides your wife / fiance in the stands. Like, I don't know.
No, that's
nobody else cared about it.
I miss that too.
Yeah.
That's a good point about sports in general and the purpose of sports.
Yeah.
I think that's the biggest thing here though, is like the purpose of sports was to develop character skills and just become more organized, better time management, discipline, working hard at something greater than yourself.
To get free education in college. That was a big one.
College, and it's like, now we've taken that and become just me. Mm-hmm. Greedy with it all.
Yeah.
And we're all mental wrecks. Myself included.
Yep, I was right there.
I'm a direct, I don't want to say victim of that, but yeah, kind
result.
Of. Result of that. So, that's crazy. But, that's all I've got.
Yeah, that was it.
That was probably our first deep moment on the podcast. It's not deep, but it's very intellectual. That's a good word right there. But if you like the Retired Podcast and you like what you're hearing, be sure to drop a sub on our YouTube channel. We will post these every week on Monday at nine. And be sure to check us out on Spotify and Apple Podcast. And until next time, good night.
Good night.
Outro.